American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting you for the internet for Monday, January the 24th, 2011. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel in 2011, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. And when? That's right, 2011. It still feels weird saying it. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, Second Life, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. at Node Archers Grid 155-74666. And there tonight, we got a bunch of sevens. We got Ava Mode, Ball Traveler, who's here, who built this place. Very good to see you. Cimmerian, Xerxes, Dark One, Heavy Metal, Johnny Kraus, Jericho, Jonas, Vincent Cade, Max Token Cat, Napalm, Nig Nig, Sporadiki, and Yukasaki Ivy Lord. And even though I've already introduced him, let's introduce him again. Cimmerium Resident. My beautiful
Italian. Greetings.
Probably with the most awkward, yes, most awkward intro I've ever done on the show.
And here, guy.
Here's that other guy who does a show with me. Radio 99. You know who they are? Well, you should. They're transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And thank you, Sim, for being here today. You've been now. Everyone is very interested in your movie career. People want
to
know what's going on.
Yes.
Well, no, I mean, you've already won an award. You're doing it all backwards, man. You go, you win awards in films, and then you go to school. Like, you don't win awards in filmmaking and then go to school. That's like...
I think I just got lucky, you know, learning it on my own and just persevering and happening to do it the right way to win an award. I think it's just all luck. Winning that award, because I mean, I didn't go to school. I just kind of fiddled on
that's
a computer
not luck.
By
no,
myself.
No, bullshit,
going,
man. Yeah, that's not luck. Right. That's not luck. It's not like they went, oh, here's everybody coming in here tonight. Dingle, 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 dingle. And then they pull out a tab and, hooray, James wins it. No, that's not what happened. What happened was that you made an amazing product and it all synced up awesomely. I mean, you had some good visuals. It was a film thing and you walked away and you cleaned house with it because you turned out an amazing product. So, I mean, I just think it's funny. I think
perseverance.
It's funny.
How about that?
Sure.
Chalk it up to perseverance.
Sure. I mean,
you will get recognition for it.
Well, I suppose. I mean, you're going to go on to make your own films and stuff like that. And I think, really, you're enjoying it. You get to hang around other film nerds, be all film nerdy.
Yep.
Super film
talk
nerd.
Talk filmy all day.
All film, all day, every day. Your poor wife. Well, must be pretty rough. Must be pretty.
Oh no, it's good because she loves films.
And, oh, and, good.
You know, that's why.
Good.
Married her. She. And I love films, and we watch tons and tons of movies, like absurd amounts of them. So, it's not a hardship on her. Oh no, we have to watch another great movie. It's awful.
Okay, well that's cool. No, that's cool. As long as as long as everybody's
it's
into
good.
It. Right, which is...
Yeah, everybody's on board, and that makes it good, right? It sucks when you start doing something like a hobby or something, and your friends or your partner don't like it, and you're like, oh, God, should I stop doing it because it pisses everyone off? But luckily, you know, everyone's on board, everybody's happy. I'm a filmmaker in training.
So, well, sure, aren't we all? Aren't we all? I guess it's good, you know. I'm tickled pink that you're doing it. Personally, I think it's a little ridiculous because again, you've already won awards, but you know, it gives you. It's definitely an awesome networking tool. I've never put a lot of credit into the Ivory Tower institutions, you know. Yep. It's like lots of good people. It's like archaeology. Really, it's kind of crank science, really. I mean, when you get right down to it, you know, I should be able, just because you've got a bunch of paper doesn't mean you should get to keep all the gold. I think that's bullshit. I do. I just, and film school's just like that, you know, just like that.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Well, there's a lot of technical stuff. It's like, if they shove a camera in front of your face, it does take a bit to figure it out. Or how do I light this? I have no idea. It's hard to stumble across and figure it out.
It's good to have technical training. Technical training, yes, you gotta know your kit, you gotta know your tools. So I can appreciate that.
Creativity very easily.
Yes.
The seed has to be there. And to develop it, you just have to go out and do it and figure out what works for you.
And like, this is, you know, and with it's a good time for you.
Just you're have to sit to, down yeah. and put pen to paper and put your fingers on the keyboard. And that's how you learned to write, didn't you? You didn't sit there and think
writing
about
classes
it.
Are
it was
bullshit.
Doing
you,
it.
Anybody who's listening, people ask me all the time. I've got an interview actually on Friday with a guy who's going to talk to me about writing. And, this is for a high school, or no, it's not for high school. It's a university paper he's doing, and he needs to talk to a writer. So I'm
there
racking my brain to say his name, but I can't remember it right now. But that's okay, because maybe
he knows who he is.
He knows who he is, and so I'm gonna go and be interviewed about this. And honestly, there's all these people who talk about and they try to make writing such a technical thing. It's really such heinous bullshit. All you want to be a writer, start playing role playing games. That's it. That's the trick. If you there's no every single writing school that I've been to, they talk about like
why
how to you know make a character and designing a character and whole workshops on it. Go get a Dungeons and Dragons book. It'll teach you how to make a character in 20 seconds, man. Seriously, and you can make like what do you want, a fantasy genre? Okay, and you don't actually have to play, but it gives you an ability. It says how strong, and you have to apply everything to a statistics system, which allows you to you know maybe your character. You know, maybe he's a, I don't know, maybe he's addicted to, like Sherlock Holmes, right? Great mind, addicted to morphine, right? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Adds a sense of drama. And then as you play around with the character,
nobody
can
be
start
perfect.
Having fun.
The weak points of the flaws of the character. That's what makes him interesting. If this character's perfect, it's like, oh, well, that's pretty boring. He'll never make a mistake. There's no drama. There's no life to him.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll be talking to him more about that. And I honestly think anybody who catches this show or is at all interested in writing, let me tell you, best writing tool ever. Save you thousands of dollars in writing class, whatever the fuck that is. Here's what you need to do to be a writer. You read books, number one. Read books. Read everything you want that you want to write in. So if you want to write fantasy, read fantasy. Just accept that. Number two, write. Write. Yeah, pretty much write. Write at least every day. Yeah, you have to write. You have to write. I think the best way to do it is the time method. That is the best way to do it. Now, I used to use a 2,000 method where I would use 2,000 words a day, but I generally find that what you need to do, if you really want to do this, but you have to really want to do it, is you need to allot a certain amount of time every day, and that will be a sacrifice, and it will be hard, and it will not be an easy thing to do. It may, in fact, after 6 months, it'll be easy, but after a month, it'll probably be the hardest thing you've ever done. It's very, very hard to do. Once you break through
the 10,000 hour rule.
With 10,000 hours, you're a master, apparently, after 10,000 hours. This is just makes you, you know, a guy who's able to think on paper. Is what it is. That's where you want to be, where you can just sit there and you're not even thinking about it, and you're just kind of daydreaming, and your fingers are doing all the work, and you're just sort of reporting. It's like autonomous, you know, like spirit writing, for lack of a better word. But that's that's sort of how it is. You just kind of dump it onto the paper. So it's very, very good to go.
I have a hard time. We have to do some writing in my class. I have a very hard time writing, and the reason why is because in my real life, I avoid drama. And in a story, you have to put your character in absolute horrible peril and drama throughout the whole story. And I just can't do that to characters. I just feel bad when I do that.
Really? Yeah, I'm such a prick to my characters. I am such a prick to my character. I'm a prick. Yeah.
In my say, you've got to be horrible godright. Be horrible to your characters.
The thing is I find is I never think about characters. What I do is I start with a situation. I start with like, wouldn't it be cool if, and then you have this like scene which, like, Apocalypse Now, the quintessential scene where they're flying in across the water, that's just a bunch of choppers flying across the water with music, but it's all the build-up.
Yeah.
So what you do is you have your four or five scenes in the film, as far as I'm concerned, that you think are good shit, and then you build all the build-up to each scene, and if you do it right, you wind up with Empire Strikes Back, you know, if you do it right, and you're able to think that visually, but, you know. But we've got a huge show, Sim. Huge show. Enough of your film.
Sorry.
Stop hogging the airwaves, man. Good day, Sean. Oh. Good day. I have to ask. I have a question to ask. What do you personally think of the library books offered by Paladin Press? I know some of them are hit and miss, but do you think the majority of the catalog is worth looking into? If you haven't read much of their stuff, I can get you a PDF copy of some of their choicer pieces. Thank you. No, I'm, as you can imagine, pretty well stocked. Yes, Paladin Press is very, very good. Go check them out. If I was going to pick one book off of Paladin Press and read it and commit it entirely to memory, it would probably be the Sniper Handbook. You can generally tell which books are a little bit better than others by looking at the page count. Little trick there. Check it out. Paladin Press. Good people. Good people making books for information purposes only. Dear Sean and Tazor. Man, it's been over a year. You're still being called Tazor.
I hate it.
The all-seeing eye of Rant.
People out there, stop calling me
Don't stop calling him that. Awful. He loves it. It's going on your gravestone. Dear Sean and Tazor, I heard you put the call out for WOG lawyers and wanted to let you guys know that you already have one. I'm an attorney in Bethesda, Maryland, and primarily work in commercial litigation. I've been listening to Newsreel for about a year now and love all your stuff. Keep up the good work. Furthermore, you should know the latest legal musings are spot on. If you have all the rights you can afford to enforce. No more, no less. And I wish I had a nickel for every time I've tried explaining that to a ranting client. Finally, please feel free to email me any questions you guys may have. Although your sharp topics tend to fall into the IP and criminal law fields, which by no means my specialty, I may be able to help point you in the right direction. Either way, I can definitely help with procedural matters, which is the real raison d'etre of my profession. Keep fighting the good fight, and thanks for the great show. Yours truly, JR. How about a digital baptism? Okay, JR. We'll get to that. And, of course, we have some news. Now, we got a lot of crazy news going on with surveillance. It's kind of, you know, I watched the Obama deception. I finally did. Because I didn't
see
really...
that yet. I've got it.
I watched it.
Okay.
And it's damning as hell. Yeah, it's pretty... I didn't want to really watch it because, well, you know, I wanted to be happy for a little while.
Maybe
I just wanted there to be a little bit of hope, you know? Yeah, Obama was so nice and everything, and he did such a good job of
it. Well-spoken.
Sure.
Looks nice on stage.
Great guy on stage, yeah. You know, but it wasn't. And, of course, Alex Jones in a typical fashion. I don't know how he keeps going. I mean, he must be like the guy's got KMFDM for blood. I don't know what he does, but he is just insane. The level of intensity that guy could bring to force. Like, I'm in awe of the man. Seriously, like, sometimes I think he's really crazy, and maybe he is, but wow, what an amazing human being. Check that out, though. Obama deception is pretty damning stuff. And that's the unfortunate stuff about Alex Jones's crap, is he's like, hey, I'm really terrified Alex Jones is going to be like, the queen is lizard people. Actually, I'm hoping he does. Because if Alex Jones says it, he'll have the evidence to back that shit up. He'll be like, here she is. You know what I mean? Because he's got it all.
He revealed. Does.
Yeah, he's got it all, man. If he's got, he has got it all. Which is interesting that the guy's like all about all this hardcore evidence about all these different matters, yet he's a psycho hardcore Christian. Which I think is kind of a bit of a dichotomy there.
Dichotomy, yeah.
You know, is that the right word? Juxtaposition, maybe?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Or dichotomy?
Dichotomy's good. I think that's right.
When was the last time you used the word dichotomy for anything? Really? I mean, there's words like that. Once in a while. You know, our lexicon is just completely failing. But that's okay. We have something in the show for you tonight on this. Okay, so a little bit more. Like, the world is getting pretty... That's where I was going with the Obama thing. Thank you. I was kind of hoping that things would be looking better. I was hoping for the hope, you know, change and hope. Hope and change. Chope. You know, I was hoping for that.
Chope.
But not so much. It's surveillance news sent in by Name Redacted. Your smartphone... Now, this is really funny because, of course, we've been saying this for years. Okay. Your smartphone is a covert spy device secretly listening and recording everything you say. Or at least it could be, according to new research that has uncovered a smartphone hack affecting both Android and iPhones. The Auto Answer feature installed on most smartphones can be hacked to transform the phone into a listening machine based on research by Ralph Philip Wittman that shows a way hackers can break into the phone's baseband processor, which sends and receives radio signals on the cellular network by exploiting bugs in the firmware that is on the radio chips. I will demo how the Auto Answer features presents most phones to turn the telephone into a remote listening device. Okay, great. Throughout the previous cell phones, security's concerns have focused on the operating systems. Wyman's research presents a new kind of hack, baseband hacking, as an approach that requires some complicated setup to function. The would-be hacker creates a fake cell tower to get the targeted phone to connect with it, at which point the fake tower will be able to transmit bad code. Moreover, the code must be capable of running on firmware, representing another level of hacker know-how necessary to run the trick. A new open-source software called OpenBTS allows pretty much anybody to set up a cellular network radio tower. Back in the day, it would take them tens of thousands of dollars to accomplish the same feat, making this sort of hacking basically impossible for the average hacker. This kind of hacking is also illegal, as intercepting phone calls over licensed frequencies is against federal law. Wyman will unveil his hack at next month's Black Hack Information Security Conference in Washington, D.C. His title for the presentation is The Baseband Apocalypse. So, they basically, long story short, he's figured out a way to put a cell tower up and run a man-in-the-middle attack to get everybody's data. While he does that, he can then broadcast out from this man-in-the-middle style attack information onto your phone, and then he's bugged you. So, yeah.
Not so good.
Not so good.
The tactic nowadays is to, rather than, you know, look at your security of your code on your devices, the companies, instead of doing that, you know, making sure it's all encrypted end to end, there's nobody going to be able to hack in somehow, is just, you know, cover it up and sue anybody who does this, rather than providing actual security to their clients.
Well, I'm gonna go one step beyond, Sim, and I'm just gonna assume that everybody's, you know, pretty much corrupt and retarded. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make get a metal box, and I'm gonna put my phone in like a metal micro Pelican case. Ta-da!
Okay.
That's it. That's where my phone stays, unless I want to make a phone call, because I don't answer my phone. Yeah. Nobody answers their phone anymore. Who answers their phone? Nobody does that. Okay, so what you do is you just answer voicemail. Once in a while, you phone people. You know, that's
you get their voicemail, and it goes back and forth.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's secure, you know? You don't need to worry. You connect to the internet when you want to. No one can track you. Hey, you can't argue with it. You know, it's a little bit inconvenient. But comparatively to, you know, being constantly tracked everywhere, I think that that's the way to go. Now, of course, I want to know what would be a really good cell phone to get, because there's a lot of different options out there for cell phones and you know, all these different devices. And I get a lot of questions on, you know, what's a WOG to carry. And I don't know a lot about these cell phones, and I don't know a lot about these tablet computers and e-readers and things of this nature. I don't really know a lot about those. But I think that anything that you can program yourself and run on free software is a good place to start. I don't like proprietary stuff. Yeah. That's why I don't like the iPads. They do. OtterBox makes a case for them, though. Which is unfortunate, because you can get a really nice case for it. Well, hey, you know, I can have the best electronics in the world, and if I can't get it wet, then it's pretty much useless to me, right? So,
That's true.
It's good to have your own... But getting back to this story here, we've got this man in the middle attack, which is, okay, so your cell phones can be hacked by this man in the middle attack, but wait, the secondary part of the story is, so your bug... your cell phone could be turned into a bugging device! And the second story, actually, that I have, also in surveillance notes, contradicts the first story. Listen to this one. If you own an Apple or Android phone, congratulations, right now, without your knowledge, unloading your GPS position and additional MAC addresses of every Wi-Fi network within range of your phone to Skyhook Wireless. Public, but privately owned database. Both Apple and Android phones comes with this functionality enabled by default. Skyhook Wireless collects this data and provides what they call Wi-Fi positioning, or WPS. You may have already seen this technology at work where you make a laptop anti-theft solution, such as Prey Project, which relies on only a Wi-Fi connection to determine physical location. The technology works by basically using a constellation of all known access points to triangulate your position based on the relative GPS data, which has been conveniently recently gathered via crowdsourcing. The technology works indoors and is currently accurate to 20 meters. The privacy implications to this are huge. Previously, if someone's going to track your phone, it would be the feds. But you have to really piss them off for them to work with the wireless provider to do it. Now, Skylark Wireless provides a software development kit which directly interfaces with their public database, and there's currently no regulation whatsoever pertaining to WPS. Think about it. All a jealous boyfriend, girlfriend would have to do is use the SDK to write some malicious code to run their significant other phone and know they have real-time location data of that person. That person will never know they're being tracked, and it works indoors to 20 meters. So if your loved one is, you know, so the point here is that this story contradicts the first story, because the first story says, hey, your phone can be turned into a bug. And this story says, no, your phone is a bug. It's just that you have to be careful about who's, people are now, there's so many people trying to use that bug that they're fighting over who has control to bug you, because they can sell your information from the phone. So it's like you're carrying around this little, you know, harvesting pod that all these, you know, creatures are trying to, like, tear the information from. It's disgusting. It's totally disgusting. Yeah. And, you know, oh, I could steal it. Ah. You know, God, it makes me sick. It makes me really, you know. So, so the phone. Sam, what are we going to do? What's a good WOG phone? I guess I got a lot of stuff coming out of China. You get two different SIM cards in them.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, what do you do? Like, your solution, turn everything off until you have to use it. And then, at that point, you are revealing your location at that point.
Well, but you can also run a really long antenna.
Tracking you from place to place.
I like long antennas, personally. Because they can tell where my antenna is. Right, so if I'm just saying that if you had to do it, and you had a bit of time.
That's a long antenna.
Go build yourself a long-ass antenna. Yeah, why not? Why not? They're going to go kick in apartment number 475. That's great. I'm down on the first floor. See ya.
That's true. Yeah. Run your cell phone link over the internet or something and have your
Stealth
antenna
box.
Based in another city.
Yeah, a little bit of minor Multiple EW cities. There. You know, why not? I'm just saying. Yeah. I like long antennas.
Yeah.
You know.
Tor system, hey?
There you go.
Where it could exit at any point.
There you go. You know, you can create like a little thing. Yeah. So I just, you know. But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, the bugs, right? So you could go that way and just put it in a metal box and don't answer your phone. There you go. I think cell phones are a pain in the
then
ass.
Then why even have one then?
No, because it's your convenience. You like, I feel very strongly about this. A cell phone is a service that I pay for, and I don't pay for somebody else to call me. I pay for when I want to phone people. Okay, so it's first of all, so let's get that straight. I'm paying a certain amount of money every month for my ability to call other people, not for people to call me. Okay, if I want to be contacted by other people, maybe I'll set up voicemail, but maybe I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, I mean, that's totally legit.
It happens.
It totally happens. It's going to happen more too. Like in the not just me now. No, not just me. That's not a threat. No, seriously, that's not me. You're going to see a lot more people. In the future doing this. People are getting sick of it, man. No one wants to be that dialed in. Like, people just want to unplug.
They've got or the other way. They've got Twitter, they've got Facebook, they've got their cell phones, voicemail, they've got two cell phones, one from work, the BlackBerry, one their home cell phone. It's overload. They're going to break at
that's
a point.
The black shakes. Get the black, that's what it is.
And break down, and they're going to discard all of it. They're going to go, why am I doing this? Look, I'm a slave to my technology.
That's it.
I'm a slave to everyone else. Want to free myself and, you know, turn it all off, right?
That's right. That's right. The metal box. The joy of the metal box. Open, snapped, closed. Look at that. It's closed. I'm going to make a line of Faraday cage pelican cases called Pandora's Box. That's what it'll be. They'll call Pandora. Go. And it'll be your own little cell phone electronic storage device that once it's in there, it's gone. It's in the bag of holding, man. It's just gone forever. Now, you know who's going to be interested in this? Oh, if any of you got any ideas on a good WOG phone because you're like one of those phone ninja people, give us a ring here. We need to know, especially send us your qualifications why you think you're a phone ninja, because otherwise we're not going to listen to you. But let's talk about some cyber militia. Now, this is an interesting story sent in by M-Wade. In April 2007, we reported on this, the Baltic Republic of Estonia became the first first country in the world to experience cyber war. Government, financial, media, computer networks were paralyzed by a series of attacks, which authorities ultimately concluded originated in Russia. Those dirty Russians. In the years since that cyber assault, Estonia has distinguished itself once again. Now a model for how a country might defend itself during a cyber war. The responsibility would fall to a force of programmers, computer scientists, and software engineers who make up the Cyber Defense League, a volunteer organization that in wartime would function under a unified military command. This is a cyber militia that is exactly like a well-run militia. You know, we're all farmers and stuff. And then we get, you know, like everybody grabs their rifles and their tomahawks and off they go. Our league, we are members of the Cyber Defense League. Our league brings together the specialists in cyber defense who work in the private sector as well as in different government agencies. Defense Minister Jake Avogosug says, you know, that would be this. Good God, could you imagine if they did this in America? You know, you could put up a little booth down at the Black Hat Conference and just, you know, work and vet people and filter out the crazies. I mean, you could probably, you'd wind up with some seriously intense talent.
The evolution of the ham radio operators, they've evolved into the cyber.
That's exactly league. What that is. Good call. Yeah. Because, of course, you've got the little ham radio cult guys, right? And they're probably good. Some good ham radio people listening to this show right now. Well, you know,
I bet they know a lot about computers as well, you know, some of the new school guys.
Radio 99, broadcasting on 6673.3 kilohertz, thank you very much. You know, I mean, they know what's going on. So they're all about, you know, communicating, connecting people. So I think the whole idea of a cyber militia, though, that's why I reported on this story. I think that's really a cool idea. You know, like we should, you don't need to, you could organize something like that. Well, you know, I don't like to try to encourage people to organize into military-minded groups. That's a dangerous thing to say, and this, especially in this day and age. Well, dude, like, you know, wow, nobody's calling me stupid for closing cult now, are they? No.
Yeah,
there's Sean with a long game. Yeah, good call. Oh, hey, really? Wow. Yeah, good move, Sean. Yeah, because let me tell you, after 9/11, you know,
it's there.
You know, I don't want to do all the vilification work for them. But
it's just too easy.
Yeah. It's like, really? Wow. This guy's like a gift. But, it's kind of devastating when you consider just how crazy it's gotten now, for information and just even for people to talk. I think the world isn't more free than it was in 2000. I think it's way less free. You know, I'm way more concerned about, like, Julian Assange wouldn't be. Do you think this would be going on right now? You know, and the thing is, it's because there's so many people on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, there was this kind of information was getting out back then. But then you had to be, like, in the community. You had to be, like, hanging around on those boards. Like, maybe a few hundred thousand people knew about it globally. You know, and that was it. But now, shit, man. Like, everybody, like, WikiLeaks.
Delivered to your inbox.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, if you're involved in at all with any sort of internet service provider, I mean, you know about WikiLeaks, it's all there. Everybody, it's all over the news. This guy's like the Robin Hood. So suddenly it's in everybody's face, and that's why I think there's going to be so many problems with it. But, you know, where are you supposed to get your information from if you don't, like, do you believe WikiLeaks? Could you believe what they say? Because sometimes, you know, even their data, you got to check some everything. And it's getting harder and to do that. And more inconvenient. Like, can't you just, you know, that's what I think is probably going to be the biggest strength for Newsreel. Is that people just sort of trust me. Honestly. Because I'm not lying.
Well, where do people turn to for the
truth?
They got to
trust somebody.
It's hard to say. It's like, do you trust the TV? Do you trust the radio? Do you trust the internet? Do you trust your friends to pass forward stuff that's going to be true and not just something
they can trust? People can trust Rant. I would say if they can't trust us, I mean, you're got your crazy self-denial vegan thing on the go that you've been doing for 12 years now. Running this place like, you know, honestly, like some kind of bizarre, honest-to-God cult that you control. I mean, you're never going to quit is where I'm going with this. You never are.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I'm, you know, nobody can control me for 20 minutes anyway, so I will give it to you straight. If I think something's going on, I'll be like, yeah, well, you know what, fuck it. Here's what's going on, and that's I'm often wrong. I'm often wrong. But, you know, at least I, at the time, you know, at least tell you what I think, so you can make your own decision. This cyber militia.
And when you are right, it's a bad thing.
Usually. Yeah, then I start, writing about
it. In the wrong way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a dark. not a sunny, bright future when you see it. You're a dark futurist.
That's why I don't watch. That's why I don't watch dramas. Like, if I watch movies, I'll never review, like, a drama, because they suck. I don't want to go to a movie theater and cry. Like, why would you do that? Why would you go to a movie theater and cry? Why would you take $40 from me for, like, a Dixie cup full of Coke and, you know, cram me in my sweaty little chair and you're going to, you know, charge me for it, and then you're going to make me feel fucking bad? Are you serious? Like, shit, man, the diamonds are safe, okay? Like, honestly, I just, no, I tried that. I really did. I tried to explore it. I saw Titanic. I saw City of Angels. You know, I sat through Pride and Prejudice.
And you gave up.
Yeah. No, man, blow shit up. The one thing I really hate is
strange, isn't it?
What's that?
Yeah.
It's weakness.
It is a bit strange to do that, to sit through that and torture yourself. You go to the movies and you go, I want to be entertained. I want to cheer for the good guy. Yeah. I want everything to work out in the
shit
end.
To blow
and
up I want to see some movies. Sylvester Stallone, you make good movies. Sylvester Stallone makes a badass movie. And I'm here to tell you, I've never seen a Stallone film I didn't like that he made. I mean, honestly, even the ones he was just kind of in. You know, of course, I haven't seen all of his stuff, so I should say that. Like, Throw Mama from the Train, I don't think so. That's not really the kind of thing I'd be into. But I'm just like, you know, and it's not that I always want to cheer for the bad guy or whatever. I mean, I like a good guy movie. I like it when the good guys win and stuff like that. Doesn't always have to be the anti-hero. But I do not want to sit there and have, like, you know, the tragic ending. You know, Man on Fire, that's about as close as you can get to a tragic ending. That's like, it's still kind of okay, like, he still won kind of thing, you know, so that, without, if you haven't seen Man on Fire, very good movie. But yeah, you know, I just don't like that. I just don't, you know, like, no. It pisses me off. I mean, I had a hard enough time with Tears of the Sun. I got in so much trouble. I got in so much trouble. I mean, because there's so many, you want to watch a movie with a bunch of people who like to debate actions or military actions, go watch Tears of the Sun with them and be like, yeah, so what'd you think of that? Do you think he was right to go back and save those people? And oh my God. Like, they'll be name calling by the end of the night. People, bad. Yeah, you'll stir a lot of stuff up. It's a very well done film,
actually. Movie? I haven't seen it yet.
Tears of the Sun. Tears of the Sun. I have it. You'll probably want to get it on Blu-ray. But yeah, because you're a super movie snob guy. But yeah, exactly. Tears of the Sun, very good film. Soundtrack's really solid too, actually. But speaking of which, and like all these films, let's talk about Propaganda, because Propaganda is just getting a bit easier. This is a disgusting story coming out of Toronto. The CRTC is proposing a regulatory change that would give Canadian TV and radio stations more leeway. I love the way they phrase this. They would give Canadian TV and radio stations more leeway to broadcast false or misleading news. What? So the sentence is, the CRTC, which is the Canadian Radio and Television, Regulation and Transmission, what is it? Who is the CRTC? Like, what's that stand
Sounds
for?
Sounds good.
To ensure. That's the radio guys. And they're proposing a regulatory change that would give Canadian TV and radio stations more leeway to broadcast false or misleading news. So to lie to you. They're trying to dress it up. They can lie to you now. Current regulations contain a blanket prohibition on broadcasting any false or misleading news. The Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission, there it is, wants to considerably narrow the slope of that prohibition. It's proposing a ban on the broadcast of any news that the licensee knows is false or misleading, that endangers or is likely to endanger the lives, health, or safety of the public. The CRT quietly posted notice about this proposed change, which is slated to go into effect September 1, on its website last week. The agency is accepting comments from the public until February 9th. Michael Geist, University of Ottawa law professor specializing in communication issues, says the proposed prohibition is far too limited. If we're setting a high standard that you've actually got to endanger someone's life, health, or safety, frankly, almost anything that's a false or misleading is obviously outside the fairly narrow scope would be fair game, Mr. Geist said in an interview. So, interesting, because, like, now it's like you can't misleading news. Now it's like, oh, if it's life-threatening. Well, shit.
Only if it's life-threatening.
Yeah.
But else, you know, if it's just lying and it doesn't hurt anyone, it's just a bit, little bit of a lie, you know, that's fine, as long as nobody gets hurt. Wow.
Yeah, and of course, in America, there are no laws against, you know, lying to the public on news. Like, there's no laws on the books. What show was I watching about that? Where they said that, you know, there was a documentary.
Oh, no. It, the corporation, and it was talking about the banning of, or they were talking about the hormones in cows or something.
Right, and they were going to do a story.
This news show was, oh, yeah, it's safe, and is like, no, there's studies. Oh, and they got struck down. It's like, nope, you can go ahead and lie to the public. It's all okay. It was a show on Fox Network.
Is that called The Corporation? Is that the name of the...
Yeah, The Corporation, one of the best documentaries ever made.
Yeah, which is very, very good. I would totally concur. Awesome. If you haven't seen that, that's a must-see. I would probably put the most Alex Jones' stuff in there, too. I mean, he's pretty depressing, and if you want to, like, take, like, a normal, adjusted person and make them pop, like, from The Matrix, you know, when he Neo's running around and kind of falls down. Sit him down and have him watch a bunch of, you know, Alex Jones stuff. Start in the beginning, you know, Road to Tyranny, and then Terror Storm, and then, you know, he's got some
ramping up.
Terror Storm. Slow. Well, he gives you the history, and he covers, like, and actually, it's a good, you could start him off slow. You could go into there with the first Zeitgeist film, because that'll segue pretty nicely, actually. And then with the Zeitgeist, and you can move into the other stuff. Oh, yeah, by the end of the weekend, man, everybody's going to be like, oh, my God!
be stocking up on the ammo, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
By the end of it?
Yeah, it's totally...
In fact,
oh, yeah, but at good times, you know, nothing... I mean, that's why we go to see zombie movies, right? You go see a zombie movie, because everybody who sees a zombie movie...
Films. Training films.
You sit there and you go, like, oh, I totally wouldn't do that. When the guy does something that we don't expect them to do... If you're like, wow, that was really smart, then the movie's awesome. If the guy, like, taught you something, that's the really cool. That's why everybody liked that Deadland, or is Deadland? Yeah, where the Rule 1, Rule 5, all that stuff. I think it was Deadland.
Yes. Zombieland.
Zombieland. Haha. Sorry, different. You know, all the names start blending together. Blur. But of course, speaking of zombies, good segue. How about the zombie satellites, man? Galaxy 15. We got an update on Galaxy 15. Now, this is amazing. Now, if you want to, the guys who are running Galaxy 15 are my hero. They're the most stunned bunch of retards. I would not want to deal with these people at all. First of all, they got a satellite. They lose control of it. Then they say, oh, we're working with people. No, you're not. You're not working with anybody. You've lost control of the satellite. It's 5 miles above the crust, man. You got no control on this thing, and it's cruising around the galaxy. Then, for some reason, to catch everybody up, it just turns back on and makes contact. It's like, we took out the weather satellite, too, but, yeah, it just turned on, made contact. Now everything's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Totally fine. Can't say.
Well,
it's
done its mission, and now it's like...
Wait,
I've done my mission.
What would you think would happen next? I mean, we got this zombie satellite that's just up there. We lose contact with it. It, like, messes around. We don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, it comes back on. It's like, dude, everything's fine. Everything is flowing. Suddenly,
there
the
was
satellite,
no error. Yeah,
well, check this out. Intelsat says its once wayward Galaxy 15, it's sorry, spacecraft should deliver 10 years of service if put back into operation. 10 years. The satellite, didn't they just say this thing was going to run out of juice and die? The satellite, which spent most of 2010 drifting out of control, is now under full command again and set for an intense test program. Assuming, given a clean bill of health, Galaxy 15 will return to the business of relaying TV services to the America, says Intelsat, who is like, does not want to lose their investment. The spacecraft's recent woes have hardly any impact on its fuel reserves. The current end life is 2022, and that isn't going to change, said Tobias Nassif, Intelsat's vice president of satellite operations and engineering. We did save a little fuel on the East-West station keeping over the past... in East-West station keeping over the last 8 months. However, we know now that the fuel to bring the satellite back to its station, the net effect is essentially zero. The ongoing investigation of the mishap suggests the mishap. Losing control of the satellite for a year is a mishap. Is an electrostatic discharge. It was an electrostatic discharge on the spacecraft may have been the root of the platform's problems. Bzzzt. Hmm. Static charge. That's what did it. They don't know why it
somebody
turned back
was
on.
Scuffing their feet on the carpet too much.
Yeah, bang. Galaxy 15 was launched into space in 2005 to a position high above the equator at longitude 133 degrees west. Its mission is to redistribute TV services to cable companies across North and Central America, also to send navigation data to airplanes to improve accuracy of their GPS receivers. But on 5 April last year, they experienced a major glitch by static charge that left it incapable of sending telemetry or taking commands, and for Intelsat to keep it stationary on its assigned orbital slot. In all other respects, though, Galaxy 15 retained a fully functional electronics payload and its capability to retransmit on full power any TV signal it received of a compatible frequency soon became a cause for concern among satellite operators. So, yeah, I like the way they phrase that, where it's like it retained all its ability. Yeah, so what it did is it went free, went totally rogue, and tore out across the galaxy. And now all this is happening in space. Now you get it back, and you're like, no, it's fine. And not only is it fine, we're going to use it. We think it's a great product. I'm like, no, dude. Intelsat, you are fired. You are fired. Like, ooh. Anyway, so Galaxy 15, I'm hoping apparently he'll be up there for another 10 years, which is maybe that's where server's going to come from. Maybe it's all from Galaxy 15. Maybe that's, you know, he'll be floating around up
that's
there. And
the
one
start.
Day they'll be like, okay, time to crash it. Galaxy 15 is not going in. Well, how many reserves has it got? Well, it said it ran out weeks ago, but it's still going. It's like that little Mars rover. Got to Mars and just kept on going, man. He was like, screw you. Our grandkids will be stone cold dead in the ground, and Galaxy 15 will still be up there rebroadcasting the show and feeling all right. It'll be a good deal. Now, here is a cyberpunk story from, this is like the most District 9 cyberpunk story ever. In Burner News, BJ was the first to send this one in. In Johannesburg, South Africa, some thieves have found that there's an even cheaper way, more anonymous way, to make phone calls than buying disposable burners, like those features probably in the movie or in the show The Wire. Traffic lights. It turns out that some Johannesburg traffic lights use SIM cards and GPRS to alert authorities to malfunctioning lights. But those SIM cards can also be harvested to use in generic phones to make unlimited anonymous free calls. The system instituted by the Johannesburg Roads Agency is designed to keep traffic infrastructure running without constant human observation. But when the SIM cards are so frequently stolen, the system has fallen on its face, causing traffic jams and other auto accidents. The JRA estimates that 8.8 million rand, about 1.25 million US, in the damages are being caused by the obstruction. Interestingly, the thieves seem to have some kind of inside track to the workings of the high-tech JRA. Not every light in Johannesburg is wired in this way. The ones that aren't look like the ones that are. Yet these are invariably target the lights with the valuable SIM cards inside, a spokesman for the JRA says. They know which signals to target, and they clearly have information. Each of those lights, more than two-thirds of the 600 high-tech lights, have been hit, cost over 3,000 US to repair, and some have been hit after they've been repaired already. The spokesman said they've canceled SIM cards and are now working with both tech suppliers and Johannesburg police to try to combat the crimes. They're also conducting an internal investigation in case somebody inside the JRS is working with the thieves. I just think it's, like, pretty badass. You know, you're, like, on the run. You got the Jason Bourne scene. Buddy just, like, rams his car into the streetlight pole. The streetlight falls to the ground. He rocks over, kicks it open, pulls out the SIM card, ditches in, puts his SIM card in, and off he goes. I mean, that's like...
Wow.
That's like Jack Bauer Johannesburg right there, man. That's, like, awesome. That's really sweet. So that's, you know, there's a visual... That's an after now story if ever there was one.
Put that in a movie. There
you betcha. You betcha. Running heel there. Get out with the side slung holster. Crash a truck. Get out. Kill a couple dudes. Harvest a cell phone. Keep moving. You know. Then you run off limping down the alley, kind of a thing. Awesome. Good sequence. Now, in whistleblower news, this is an interesting story. Of course, WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks has only been screwing with the governments of the world, but now he's really stepping on his dick. A former Swiss private banker handed over data on hundreds of offshore bank account holders to WikiLeaks. Founder Julian Assange on the news conference on Monday. Rudolf Elmer once headed the office of Julius Baer in the Cayman Islands until he was fired by the bank in 2002. He's scheduled to go on trial in Switzerland on Wednesday for breaching bank secrecy. Elmer handed Assange the data at a news conference and media club in London. The two yellow and blue discs contain information on 2,000 banking clients who have parked money offshore. Wow, so you're going to start exposing corporations and banks and their offshore accounts and where they're hiding their money. Well, that's...
Oh, no.
That's going to get you dead. That will get you dead. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can do stuff to governments if you start messing with, like, private banks and stuff. So, I mean, very interesting. Very interesting. I wonder if... you know, it could be easy to mislead us, too. They could leak a bunch of information that's clearly false. I mean, you know, it's a whistleblower. This is the information. Well, you know, can we verify that? Is this single source information? You know, like, how do we know? This guy claims to be a banker. I guess we'd have to verify all that as well. And at some point, you know, if he's got a good enough cover story, once it's in place, it's in place. Like, if a government agency sets it up, you're not going to find a hole in it. So you can get a little paranoid thinking like this, but still. You know, I guess that's some information to look at. And I guess if you look at it with, you know, current trends in the world in mind, it sort of makes sense. You know, you can go, well, that sort of makes sense. Because I don't think there's a lot of real truth that's super surprising going on, especially if you're at all educated and have been following current events. I mean, you don't really get super shy. Maybe get let down when you realize that, oh, yeah, really? Wow, I sort of suspected that. Okay, well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not going to be a big surprise. Oh, my goodness, the big corporations have been lying to us and scamming money out of the tax dollars of their country and putting it offshores and in bank accounts and hiding it away from the government. Yeah, that's a big surprise.
Wow, really?
Whoa.
Yeah, Alex Jones isn't standing back and being like, yeah, we got bigger fish to fry here. Okay, so after that big bummer, how about some good time rock and roll awesomeness in the news, in prehistoric cloning news? We're going to get rock and roll, all right. We're going to get like pre-Cambrian. A team of journalists from Japan, Russia, and the United States hopes to clone a mammoth, a symbol of the Earth's ice age that ended 12,000 years ago, according to a report in Japan's Yomiuri Shimbun. The researchers say they hope to produce a baby mammoth within 6 months. The mammoths will be born in the spring. The scientists say they will extract DNA from the mammoth carcass that has been preserved by the Russian laboratory and inserted to the egg cells of an African elephant in the hopes of producing a mammoth embryo. The team being led by Akira Iritani, a professor emeritus at the Kyoto University in Japan. He's built upon research from, a couple of Japanese people at the Gobind Riker Center for Developmental Biology who successfully cloned a mouse from cells that had been frozen for 16 years to devise a technique to extract egg nuclei without damaging them, according to the Yomiuri report. The U.S. researchers are in vitro fertilization experts. They, along with Kinki University professor Minoru Miyashita, will be responsible for implanting the mammoth embryo into an African elephant, the report says. If a cloned embryo can be created, we need to discuss, before transplanting it into the womb, how to breed the mammoth and whether to display it to the public.
Whether?
Yeah, whether or not you want to display it. After the mammoth is born, we'll examine its ecology and genes to study why the species became extinct and other factors. Wow. So...
Well, that'll be interesting.
What could possibly go wrong? You know, really. I don't see a problem with this at all.
Reason they're dead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know.
They should stay dead.
I think it's a great story because, I mean, hey, they're cloning. Yes. You know, I want my dinosaur. Everybody wants, you know, the clone T-Rex.
Exactly. If they can do this, they take it to the next step, then the next step, and all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of dinosaurs running around and having fun. And
well, here's what I think would happen, okay? If they make that mammoth, okay, whatever money they are going to make from the universities, okay, for that mammoth, is nothing compared to what they'll make if they sell the mammoth. You've got a baby mammoth. You have the only mammoth in the world, okay?
Yes.
And you go to Vegas, all right? And you say, let's cut the shit. I want $10 million for the alien, for the hairy elephant. Any takers? You know, you could pick your price, really. Dudes are spending millions of dollars on muscle cars, and you could have a mammoth? Man. Yeah, I'm here to tell you. I think they should build it, but honestly, I don't think that anyone's going to Of course, no one's going to see it. They'll probably, or they could eat it, but I don't think that. I think the best way to make money from it would be to. Well, you know, could we kidnap the mammoth and sell it for rent? You know, like we could put together people, because, you know, isn't that liberation? Right? It's got rights. You're a vegan. That's you'll get correct. Behind this. Right? I mean, it's not about the money. It's about
the mammoth. Pyramids on mammoths.
Yeah, you know, it's like, hey, man, what about the hairy elephants? They need rights, right? So we can... They're just going to kill them. They're just going to kill that poor clone...
Cut it apart.
Franken animal hairy elephant, you know? And that's not cool. So we'll just sell the mammoth. And he goes to a happy home, because whoever buys him, you know, he's probably going to be spending like $10, $20 million on him, so you know he's going to be looked after really well. And he can't go live in the wild, but he definitely doesn't deserve to die under the knife of some researcher in Japan. So if you want to help, you want to definitely get in touch
with
us.
You created you.
Newsreel at ranradio.com. Let's save the mammoths and sell them for profit. That's what I say. Now, of course, you don't get on your moral high horse with me, because I see that your revolutionary party there is taking over. That's right. After ousting the Tunisian president, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, Tunisia has adopted a new politician, the well-known pirate. Okay, well, he's a pirate named Salam Anamora, not the vagabond of the traditional Captain Sparrow sense, but rather an internet pirate who's served time. An online blogging, an active blogger and member of the Tunisia's Pirate Party. Amaru is thought to have spearheaded Tunisia's online revolt, which ran parallel to the bloody coup of the president Ben Ali's departure. During the revolt, Amaru and other members of the Pirate Party were arrested by the now former president until he eventually caved and fled the country. You need to get this guy on your show. You need to get...
the show's on hiatus at the moment.
You should get an interview with him. You know, seriously. I mean, you wouldn't get him live on the show, but just send an email. I'll be like, hey, man, can I get you on Skype? You know, I'm with the Pirate Party. We're the official Pirate Party radio station. You're elected as a member of the Pirate Party. That'd be an awesome way to get some press. I'm just saying, you know, definitely. It's a hot way to go. Amaru has been appointed the State Secretary for Sports and Youth, a position borne out by his good reputation of online community. An online effort played an important role during the revolt, which information was spread across the national lines of Facebook, Twitter, and used to rally the people. Amamus describes himself on Twitter as a person who's against censorship and the intellectual property rights and is for net neutrality. So that's an interesting story where, you know, I had to have it there since you're the official radio station of, well, the radio show of the Pirate Party, right? You know, you gotta...
Yeah, well, parts of it, yes.
Well, you know, you're the man. I don't see any other radio stations, you know, so...
No, that is true. Let's just say I'm the only Pirate Party radio show.
Yeah, you're recognized. You're recognized in North America. Yep. You're recognized in Europe. I'd say that you're pretty much it. So, you know, looks like a duck, walks like a duck. Which is, you know... Now, the newsreel photo today is coming from this story. And this is the one that is on the page. This is one of the most disturbing stories. It's coming in your cyberpunk kit. Wait until you hear this. Xerxes sent this in. Thank you very much. Web sniping. Creepy as this concept might be, someone actually built an internet-controlled network of web cameras and shotguns aimed into a food plot on Georgia Power Company right away last fall. The utility contractor encountered the setup, snapped a few photos, and reported the odd apparatus to the Georgia Wildlife Resources Division, which in turn notified the U.S. Office of Homeland Security. By the time the officers arrived at the South Georgia site, however, the equipment had been removed. According to the November 19th bulletin from the Georgia Information Sharing and Analysis Center, three shotguns were set up on a platform and linked to a web-accessible camera system that allows the guns to be fired via an internet connection. A second identical system was founded on the other side of the right-of-way, a total of six shotguns. The expensive Benelli shotguns appear to be chambered for 3-inch shells fitted with a magazine extension tubes that increase the capacity from 5 as many as 8 rounds. Ooh.
Wow.
Which I'm sort of like, you watch magazine fed much? But anyway, so such a system is fully operational, could direct substantial and deadly firepower. The bulletin circulated in the Office of Homeland Security said the guns were trained towards a food plot. Their likely intent was for hunting in an area known to be infested with feral hogs. How do you get feral hogs anyway? Like, wait, how do you neglect a hog so long that it goes feral? Like, you know, really, in your town, is this hog running around and nobody's like, hey, somebody gonna do something about this, you know, 3,000-pound pig that's wrecking the neighborhood? Like, holy cow.
We'll set up some internet shotguns.
But it's a hell of a thing. There it is. You know, it's not only is it a web-enabled gun turret, but it's like it's an illegal web-enabled gun turret. I'm like, wow, that's some, and you know, blowing stuff away. Like, what if you missed? What if you only wounded it? I mean, so it's a pig, but still, I mean, I'm all about the clean kill. Okay? Like, if I'm
sourced, or like people taking shifts on these guns, or
no? I imagine it was a pay site. You pay to log in, and like it's totally after now. Instead of you log in and then you get four shots. Can you kill with four rounds? You're really killing. It's the most after now esque thing ever. I mean, it's pretty much like, you know, make them paintballs and naked strippers, and there you go. You know, that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, take out your hatred for your mother. Go on. Yeah, like very bizarre
do
stuff.
It.
Yeah, do it. Very strange. Very, very strange. So I was just like, wow. Now, this is a pretty nifty thing here. Now, I got pretty heavily stepped on the other day because I went down about e-readers. Not a fan of the e-readers.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say I don't think that... I think that they have their place... Okay, I think they have a place. I don't think it's a very big place, but they do have a place. I think that an e-reader is good if you're on an operation and you don't want to be taking... Like, okay, there you are. You're raiding the tombs in Peru. All right? Now, you come across some hieroglyphs. So you got to decipher the hieroglyphs in the ancient tomb in Peru. Now, books, God love them, are heavy. Basic fact. They're freaking heavy. So, you know, for backup purposes, I think it makes sense to have digital copies of your books. The downside to having a physical object is it can be destroyed. You can burn books. Electronic data can be erased, but it's very easy to copy it. It's very easy to back that stuff up and be like, hey, you know, Sim, I know you got a couple billion terabytes at your house. Let me drop, you know, 1 terabyte of information off so I have a copy in case ninjas come for me. And that way I know that my information's safe. And that's smart.
It's a good plan.
And if you buy a book, that's your book as far as I'm concerned, you know, honestly. So especially when we're dealing with, like, knowledge and, you know, anything that involves treasure, I think it's very important that, you know, you're able to access your information as you see fit. So, you know, if you own the book, this is a very cool daily hack, which is a $150 book scanner that was sent in by Ad Nauseam. Ion Audio is probably best known for creating those nifty turntables that help those of you who own vinyl records to conveniently convert them into digital file frame format. Now, the company has been using a digital conversion know-how to create a device that can scan 200 paper pages of a book and convert them to e-reader format in 15 minutes. The Book Saver Book Scanner, what it is it's just basically some frames of paper with a camera on it that is all set to exactly the right distances. So you open a book, put this thing down on the book, it takes the picture, and then it converts the photograph into an e-reader text, which is pretty interesting stuff. I don't know how what it does with the images, because, you know, lots of books have diagrams and stuff like that. But for $150, you've got the ability to take all the books you own and have them on the
back them up.
You know, then you've got can put them in offsite storage or wherever you want to preserve your data in airtight, you know, proper. Because I mean, they're hard currency, man. That's the bizarre. That's the great thing about McLeod's. You know, you ever in Vancouver, go down to McLeod's Books. What is it, Pender and Seymour? Is that where it is? Yeah, it's just because everything that's in there is not on the internet. That's the best part, because like there's all these books that were made and were lost. And only certain people have them, and that's it. Like, you go into Chapters, it's all crap. Like, I can't even go to Chapters anymore because I've been eating at the really good food trough in Vancouver that is McLeod's. And once you get a taste for this stuff, like the stuff from the 30s and going back, I mean, stuff you can get from, like, the 1800s and 1700s in some cases, it's amazing to see. I mean, you know, Amazon, outstanding, good place to buy books as well. I enjoy it very much. But, you know, you got to get your sources. You got to get in there and get your hands on stuff that sometimes isn't even listed in catalogs. So it's a very, very cool place to check out. I'm going to do something in patrolling with it, I think. You know, it'll be like my new Dave's. If I'm going for, you know, Cthulhu busting, ding, 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 go into...
That's right. We've got a reference.
That's
going
right.
to the dungeon of books.
Go hunt it down. Sure. Sure. So... Now, as to e-readers, same rules apply as it does to cell phones. If you've got an idea Well, Sean, I know that this e-reader, you can basically take it apart, make sure nobody has access to your data, and it's pretty much like an e-reader that you have access to that you could program. Then I might be interested in that. Oh, provided it comes, then I can get a halfway decent case for it so it doesn't break, because the whole point of an e-reader is it has to be mobile. And anything you can't drop from chest height onto a flat, polished concrete floor is garbage. So, you know, I'm just saying. And your Recomedia tonight is the definitive cyberpunk dictionary. Now, this is great, because I use a lot of these terms. For example, black ice is illegal countermeasure software which causes physical harm or death to an intruder. See also ice. Or a Decker, because I'll say in Decker news. Decker, see also deck jockey. Number one, a sim sense abuser. These are people doing synthetic sensory damage. Anyone with a data jack or chip jack is also a decker. Or a derogatory term for a netrunner, which is essentially a hacker. Okay? Fantastic terms to start. Like, don't let them die. They're awesome. He went through all the cyberpunk resources and made this resource. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you very much, Apex, for keeping that lexicon going. And that is all that I have got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs That Care. And if you care and you'd like to donate, please do. You can go to the website, purchase some goods, or you can subscribe and make a monthly contribution. That would be very, very cool as well. But if not, hey, that's also cool. Go buy some DVDs, because bang for the buck, Rant Media will keep you entertained longer than anybody else. We just keep going and going. And going. Or conversely, you can send an envelope or cool presents to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And of course, we have two digital baptisms. You know, everyone forgets about the digital baptisms, and then somebody asks for one. And then I get a bunch of people asking for digital baptisms. So. JR, this is the lawyer guy. He is now Spook. Yeah. I spell Spook. 5P00K, pronounced Spook, as in the mid-60s spy slang term for a government type, is what they would CIA spooks. But 5P00K. And M-Bank, you are now Edge Runner. You can look that up in the Cyberpunk lexicon. Of course, I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. And if you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me and join the Army at newsreel@rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And of course, I found this awesome track that got sent in from Icehawk, which, yeah, it's got a crazy video for it called Danger High Voltage. Awesome by Electric Six. have you seen the video for that? Because it's money.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. It wants to be dirty really bad, but it's really not. You're looking at it and it makes you kind of wince, but there's nothing really bad going on there. It's all implied. Yeah, well, you'll see what I mean. It's just uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable. You'll love it because you love that kind of stuff. Simi, since you're on hiatus from the show and everything, I don't imagine you've got anything pertinent to add, do you, or do you?
Not really, but just been film stuff, so.
Well, you get good grades. We want to know your grades. We're totally going to.
Yes, we should have I will report back. So far, 100% on everything, but we haven't done a lot of, homework yet. It hasn't come back yet. So next week, know a bit more.
You're very lucky to have 100%. I'm going to build that confidence now. That's very lucky of you. You know, you don't have any talent. It's just luck. It's just luck that you made it 100%.
Just happened to circle C all the way down and
so,
it was all right.
Seriously, you're scoring 100%. How many things have you done? Just the one thing or two things or?
A couple, three or four things.
And 100%?
Yeah. I went to that on the weekend. I went to that health and safety thing or whatever. What's that thing? I always forget the acronym. You love the acronym.
WMIS.
WMIS. We did a little WMIS introductory course, and I got 24 out of 25 on that, so I didn't get 100%, unfortunately. Mm. But it was pretty close. So 96. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that won't bring down the braid curve. We'll see what
happens. That's right.
So remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
I am a disco. I am in the Taco Bell. I am
Yes, when we touch, when we kiss, love us.